Live now? Okay. Good evening. Please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. I was thinking this morning when the children were singing up front. If the Lord doesn't come back in 20 years, they'll be the one. They'll be the ones that are going forward. Yes. In 20 years, I won't be an old man. I don't ever plan on being one. But I'll be 58. Robin will be a little bit older. Hannah, 52. There are certain parts of our ministry where somebody at the age of 50 just cannot continue. We've already started talking if we don't have somebody to take over on the confidential that we do. Who's going to do it? It's one thing to do something like that, but when you start on a Friday night and you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 5 nights straight. In the middle of that, you have a Sunday where you teach or you preach all day and you are busy. And so you have 5 nights where you may be awake most of the night and may have obligations during the day. That's one thing for somebody that's in their 30s, late 30s, early 40s. When somebody gets about to the age of 50, just about... So we're already looking at the possibility that in a certain number of years we won't be able to continue on with that. And if we don't get the younger replacements. This morning there were 10 children singing. Representation of in between the ages of 0 and 10, just about 20 children from the church, if you count a few visitors. Those 20 children in 20 years will decide where this church goes, how far in the future or not. You say, well, do you think the Lord will come back within 20 years? Don't you believe that? I do. My grandfather believed that the Lord would come back in his lifetime. That was 30 years ago. My great-grandfather believed the Lord would come back in his lifetime. That was even longer ago. So while we're waiting for the Lord to come back, we need to remain faithful. Now, I'd like to study Proverbs in chapter 22, verse 6 tonight. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We need to train so that they will not depart. I say this as a father who has an infant son yet. I do not say it as somebody who has already raised my children. Some people say, well, shouldn't you wait until you've raised your children? Well, I'm just speaking from the Bible tonight. I've noticed one thing. We had a girl in Brazil. She was wanting to go and do everything that the world was doing. And the girls went and talked to her, and they said, you cannot do that. We have seen what it has done to other lives. She said, you've never done that. You don't know what it's like, so you can't tell me. And so her older sister, who had done everything she had, went to her and said, you can't do this because it will cause this in your life. I don't admire the older sister in a lot of ways, but she told her that. And she said, you can't talk to me. That's being hypocritical because you went out and did all those things. A lot of people, they're not interested in why people, what's the position of the person. They just want to avoid what the Bible has to say. So, I am going to speak to you tonight as somebody who has not raised my child, and I'm aware of that. And I'm speaking to myself as much as I am speaking to other people. But we need to train a child up. That's the phrase that the Bible uses. which means that all children need an orientation. They cannot simply guide themselves through life. Many times we say 18 years is the point in which a child is full grown. But look at if it's not like a child can come to the age of 18 and be a fully formed adult without intervention. A child will be trained. If the parent does not do it, it will be done by somebody. The child will be educated. If the parent does not do it, it will be done in some way. It may not be trained and educated the way the parent would like, but it will be trained and educated. We should always know what is the right way to walk in. You can't teach a child to walk in the right way if you don't know what is the right way. And it's very hard to teach a child what is the right way to walk if you're not walking in it in the same moment. Many times we use the example of the child being told by the parent who is a smoker that the child should never smoke. And the child looks at the parent and says, "Well, why are you smoking?" And they say, "Well, it's not good for me, but I just can't stop." We use that example. But there are many other examples. And children get these ideas quickly. Smoking is the obvious example. It's interesting. Brazil has an example about a little boy. He'd learned somewhere about money. And he was being sent to church. He had two coins of equal value. One was for the church. One he could buy candy with. And as he's skipping up to the church, one of them falls out of his hand and goes down in the gutter, and he couldn't retrieve it. And as he's sitting there looking at it, he said, "There went the money of the Lord." Where did he learn that? He learned it at home. He learned it from people that he had seen before do things similar. We need to train up a child. It can be and ought to be done in a way that the child will want to walk in this way. If you're going to train up a child and when he is old, he will not depart from this way, it can be done in a way that the child will not want to go out of this way. It ought to be done in this way. And if this training is performed right, the child will not leave, even when they are old. This is not a promise that the child will leave and will come back to it. It said, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means he's already in it, he hasn't gone out of it, and he will not go out of it when he is old. I'd like to see some other verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In 20 years of the 20 children that I previously mentioned, how many of them do you think will be members here? How many of them do you think will be in full-time Christian service? Are we going to wait and see if anything happens? Or are we going to try to show a way for them to arrive where they need to arrive? Are we going to try to find the way that they need to walk in to get where the Lord can call them into full-time service, where they can serve the Lord in the church? Some years ago, I saw a church. At the time, had a very large group of young people, between 15 and 25, more or less. Could have been 14 and 26 or something. They had 30 or more young people. I thought it was such an opportunity for so many. I'm talking about young people that had not made a move towards a career or were not in a position that they could not go to the mission field or could not. As far as I know, not one person out of those, that's 5 years ago, has made a move towards the ministry, towards the mission field. And when I had made a comment to somebody in the church about were any of them interested, would there be... The comment was, "Well, it'd be nice if it happened. We'll just have to wait and see what the Lord does." It was not, "Let's have a way. Let's see what the Lord will do through us, to make this, to guide us so that this could happen. It was just, let's let them develop on their own. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'd like to read verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The words that Moses taught in the book of Deuteronomy first needed to be in the hearts of the parents. It says, these words which I command this day shall be in thine heart. We had the first thought, shall be in thine heart. It was only after this that they were to go to teach. It was only after this that they were to involve themselves in all of verse 7. So we see that first the parents had to put these words in the heart. They had to meditate on them. They had to live them. What was in the heart had to be lived. And we go on to see, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. But we see, after the parents had taken advantage of the message for themselves, they knew it. They lived it. They showed it in their life. They were ready to teach their children. In verse 7, we see four basic times to teach the Word of God. Four basic times which are important in the life of every family. Number one, sittest in thine house. I've moved that over to what we call the time of devotionals in the family. When the family sits down to study, they sing, they study a certain part of the scripture. They can either do it by reading through a book a little bit every night. They can do it by studying Bible charts. They can do it by studying a topic. Depending upon the age of the children, this is important. You don't want to start pulling out panoramic Bible charts and showing them to a two-year-old, of course. You want to adapt it to the age of the child. So, but this is the first area, the devotionals with the whole family. The second one, walkest by the way. And I have here the time spent together outside of the house when the duties of the day are being accomplished. Or if it's not outside of the house, if they're working inside of the house on something. But this is the informal time. The time when the father and the son maybe are working out in the garden, or maybe they're painting on the house, or maybe the mother and the daughter are working, getting together supper, and they're speaking about things of the Bible. This is walkest by the way. This is time when they're driving to or from a location that they can spend speaking of the Bible, teaching of principles, teaching of Bible stories, singing songs together. All of this is important. The third one is liest down before sleeping to meditate in the last moments of wakefulness. Many people start with a child at a young age to read a story to them before they go to sleep. It's good. It needs to be a Bible story, but it doesn't need to stop when the child gets to 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever, and doesn't need a story to put it to sleep. This is a biblical principle. When the child lies down, it's a principle to talk about the Bible with the child in the last moments of the day. And then number four is risest up in the first minutes of the day in preparation for a truly complete day. Something read for a devotional, maybe a little bit of a singing in preparation for the day during the time of breakfast or after breakfast is finished before everybody scatters and goes their separate way. But there are many people who trust in the services of the church to train their children up in the way that they should go. They're not going to trust. They're not going to do the actual duty themselves, and they're going to trust in the services of the church. Now, it is very uncommon for me to use a lot of numbers in my messages. But for this message and this part of the message, I've used some numbers. So please bear with me. In between the ages of 3 and 18 are 15 years. You say, well, why did you wait till 3? 15 was an easier number to work with. If you want to start at 2, you only want to go to 17. If you want to go to 18, you can do your own numbers. But these numbers are the way, for comparison, I stayed with 15 years, in between 3 and 18. If a child goes to church 50 weeks a year, you say, you don't want them in 52 weeks? Well, I gave them a week for being sick, and I gave them a week for when they're on vacation and they're in church. That is not going to help him to walk in the way he should be. There are times when you go on vacation and you go to a church, and what you're taught is nothing that will help him in his spiritual life. You can hear, what was that one up in How to Run a Business Meeting? In a Sunday night service. But they did mention the name of the Lord when they closed in prayer. So there are these times on vacation that I understand it. They should be in church. I'm not allowing that off. But I am saying that, you know, but also 50 is a good number to work with. But I gave 2 weeks off. That's now these numbers here, pretty close. You might say, well, this number's a little short, this number's a little long, but together they should work out right. Sunday school, 45 minutes. Sunday morning service, 45 minutes. Sunday night service, 45 minutes. Wednesday night, 15 minutes. In the period of 15 years, if they come to services 50 times a year, 50 weeks a year, in Sunday school, they will have 562 and a half hours of instruction. The same for Sunday morning service, same for Sunday night service, and Wednesday night's 187 and a half hours of instruction. Total is 1,875 hours of instruction if they are regular. 1,875. Sounds pretty impressive. But the parents can have much more effect on the child than the church can. The following numbers are also based on 15 years. 50 weeks a year, just because I gave 50 weeks on the other, even though the parents should always be there. And 6 days a week regular contact instead of 7. Devotionals, 20 minutes. We start off with 1,500 hours. The devotional 6 times a week, 20 minutes, almost equals everything the church will do. Almost equals in time. Walking by the way, this number is awful small, but I put down 5 minutes. That's very, very short in a day to talk about a biblical principle, a Bible story or something. But that's 375 hours. Lying down, 5 minutes, 375 hours again. Rising up, if there's a small devotional in the morning, that's 750 hours. You have 3,000 hours. It's not quite twice what the church has opportunity to do. But also, I think that the walking by the way number was small enough that it could have been twice. What the very easily could have been twice. Just a conversation during the day. So we see total 4,875 hours. In between what the church can do and what the home can do. Just with these limited things. The amount of time of instruction that is done or should be done in the house could be more than twice with everything put together. But they both need to work together. Does not mean the church can be ignored. I know people that say that they don't come to Sunday school because they teach the children at home. I know that people that say they go to special meetings and everything so they don't do as much in the home. The both of them need to do their responsibility. Many parents think that 4,875 hours is a lot. And so they think they can place a hooky on some church services here or they can do a minimal job on the teaching at the house. They'll do less than what the Bible requires, and because that is a lot of time, and if I cut it down to 3,500 hours, that'll still be enough. I compared it to some other areas in our lives. 4,875 hours is less than 2,300 ball games. You say 2,300 ball games is a lot. And between the ages of 3 and 18, that's less than 3 a week. You say, well, at 3 years old, he's not going to be playing or watching many games. Okay. But if he plays high school football, and you count the amount of practice time that he spends during the week, you're going to pass those 3 very fast. And either he can't watch any games, or he can't participate in any games. And so it balances it out. And many people watch many games every week, and they're better instructed in ball than they are in the Bible. And 3 games a week that he either watches, goes to, or plays in, or practice time, or playing around at the house, you're talking a very, many people pass this quickly. And in this area, they say, well, that's not a lot of time. But maybe sports is not the critical issue in the life of the child. The same numbers apply, so the child can only watch at maximum 1 hour of TV 5 times a week. That means they can't even watch one program every day of the week. And many of them start watching multiple. This is also, you can also look at this 4,875 hours and apply it to video games. Or I'm sorry, video games is probably an antique phrase we need to speak about. What is it now? I was going to say Xbox, but I'm afraid that's pretty old too, isn't it? It's, they all have, they keep doing these new things on me. So there's always people that spend 30, 40 hours a week doing just that, many of them, in children. They're being trained. They're being educated. I was talking with a pastor this last time I was through, and he started talking about some problems the child had, and I asked him, does he play video games? He said, well, yes, he does. I said, are they violent ones? He said, I'm not sure. I said, because that would cause all the problems that he's having. He never thought of that. They cause problems. They train. They educate. And it's not the training and educate that will keep them on the way. And then we have one. Shall I call it a necessary evil? It's necessary. Many people go a different route and it becomes evil. Going to school. In between 3 and 18, your child will go to at least 12 years of school, plus kindergarten. On a conservative estimate, your child will spend required reading list for summer. I didn't count anything in any of those areas. Just 7 hours a day, 180 days a week. 180 days a year, sorry. So, and I think I gave half days for kindergarten. If they go to public school to receive that education, they will for certain be among classmates that were raised differently. If they go to a private school, you can be pretty sure that at least half, if not more, of the classmates were raised differently. If they go to public school, they are more than likely not to be taught and influenced by teachers who teach against the Bible. Yes. There are a few in the salted throughout the public school system who are not teaching and influencing against the Bible. Mrs. Martin's in the nursery. My cousin was here this morning. I know some others. But I also know
that the majority are teaching and influencing against the Bible. That's 17,750 hours, almost four times in the original number hours of instruction by the home and the church, which people think is sufficient that they can skip a service here, a Sunday night service there, a Wednesday night service, a Sunday school, and still their child will continue in the right direction. If we're going to train up our children, we must start early and continue faithful. And back to the schools once again. I saw something on, I'm not quite sure where it was this last week, about Virginia. And they're putting out of a required reading list. It's not only what happens in the classroom, but they had to take a book off of the required reading list, which was, shall we say, very inappropriate, to be nice. Some 20 years ago, a teacher could not have carried it inside of a public school, and they were requiring all of their students to read it over the summer. So what I'm saying is, this is a bombardment, and they're worried that in the summer they might lose control of the direction they're taking them, and so they are giving them more material that has to be read. 4,875 hours is small. I'd like to see another verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Verse 9 is a rather large verse, with only the last phrase and a half speaking of teaching. The first large part of the verse speaks to thyself. Take heed to thyself. The first responsibility of the father or mother is to keep themselves, to keep their soul diligently. They need to learn what was being taught. Moses was teaching this very carefully. They needed to not forget those things that their eyes had seen. It is necessary for the father and the mother to remember the things that they've seen, to remember what God has done for them. And only after they take heed to themselves, only after they keep their souls diligently, only after they remember those things that they have seen God do, are they ready to teach those things to the child or children, so that they can keep their own selves and keep their own souls. The parent that is trying to teach without doing, the parent that is trying to teach to keep their own souls and is not wanting to keep their soul, trying to keep the souls of the child but not wanting to keep their own souls, is going to have a failure rate. Might not be 100%, but they will not have a perfect rate. The Bible says you have to first keep and then teach. And then third, they have to teach them to their grandchildren so that the grandchildren can have the advantage. Now remember, the parent taught the children to keep their own souls. The children are to keep their own souls and teach their children. So we now have the grandchildren receiving teaching from the parents and from the grandparents. They're receiving a double force of teaching. Timothy received teaching from his grandmother and from his mother, and was the product of this. Let's see one more group of verses in Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'd like to read verse 12 and 13. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. We see two things here quickly. One is a review. The parent has the responsibility to do all the words of the law, all that was commanded, and then to teach. The obedience of the parents can speak and teach the children to fear the Lord. The obedience that they do in obeying what God has told them can teach the children to do as they should. And teaching should be done with more than words. Example is critical in the life of teaching. This summer I was in several Bible conferences, but in one of them a man was preaching, and he said one day, and I'm not going to quote him word for word, but I'll get the basic story. He said, my father called my brother and I and said, we're going to redo the rules in this house. The rules are going to be more simple from now on. And of course, you know, kids pay attention real fast. Anytime rules are mentioned and simplicity of rules, he said, here's the rule. There's not only going to be one. If you see me do it, you can do it. If you don't see me do it, don't you dare. As parents, how many of us can say that? As parents, how many of us are ready to take our children aside at the age they can understand what is following an example and say that to our children? If you see me do something, you can go ahead. You're not going to get in trouble. If you don't see me doing something and you do it, get ready to get in trouble. Example needs to be done. Example. This is teaching by example and not just with words. But these verses refer to teaching even the children, those people that do not know the Lord. This also becomes the responsibility of those that are Christian parents. We should be bringing not more than just those that belong here as our children, but we should be trying to bring in neighborhood children for Sunday school, for services, for teaching. We should try to be teaching Bible clubs. This is something that is necessary. It was something that was commanded in the Old Testament. The Bible said that they were supposed to do this with the strangers, the stranger that is within thy gates. Interestingly enough, the stranger that would have been within their gates, that worshiped not the Lord, would have been Gentile. But they were to reach out and evangelize the Gentiles that were in the neighborhood. Many times the Jews avoided the Gentiles, but in this area, they were to reach out and evangelize. The responsibility of the Christian parents are to evangelize those that are growing up with their children, those that are in the neighborhood, and to take that as a personal responsibility. If you have already begun, encourage yourself and continue. No matter what else, do not let the world have full rights to your children, to training them up, to educating them. They'd like to. They're out to do everything they can to control, to find one way or another to get at your children. Yes. It requires a full-time dedication. It's not something you can play hooky from church services. It's not something you can cut back on the responsibilities at home. When you look at the numbers I gave of time to involve yourself in this every day, it looked a little bit heavy at first. But when you look at that against what the world is going to have with your children, what the world is going to try to attack your children with, it's actually pretty small. Train up a child in the way he should go, It's not something you get away with 10 minutes a week, with one service a week. It's not you enter into church, you leave, and your spiritual responsibility is over until the next week. Many people, they don't even do that. And yet they expect that their children will continue on in the way of the Lord. There were the 20 children I talked about at the beginning that are part of this church. There were about 10 here in the front, several in the nursery, some that weren't here this morning, about 20 in total from what I was able to figure up. In 20 years, are they going to continue on, or are they going to be gone? Let's pray. Dear Father, help us as we raise our children, that we might do it to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.